Om Agyanatimi Randhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Weakness of the heart. Can you explain it in detail? Thank you.
It's better to discuss about the positive things in detail. Instead of discussing weakness of heart, it's better to discuss enthusiasm, determination, which is the opposite of weakness of heart. Weakness of heart means lack of enthusiasm, lack of determination. So, pick yourself up, taking help. If you've fallen down, and someone gives a hand to help you, you just have to extend your hand and they can pull you up. So take good association and come up. Our process is a positive process. You see, just like in mundane psychology, they do so much analysis of why people are crazy. So they may have some success in converting people from what is considered to crazy to what is not considered crazy. So instead of being neurotic or schizophrenic or whatever, they become normal. But normal is also crazy. So our process is we recognize what our anartha is, but we overcome them by the positive process of chanting Hare Krishna, taking Krishna prasad, studying Srila Prabhupada's books, associating with devotees, and so on. So this chanting, we can overcome all weaknesses of heart by chanting. Chant with some intensity. In this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Something will be there, but not so helpful. Chant with some intensity. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That will help us very much.
Nanda Maharaj took bath in an unfavorable time. And servants of Varuna captured him. What's the proper time? What is proper time for taking bath? Some devotees take bath at 2 o'clock at night and 3 o'clock at night.
So you're hoping that the servants of Varuna will arrest you and then Krishna will come to save you? Of course, Nanda Maharaj was bathing in the Yamuna. So the servants of Varuna might have difficulty pulling you down the drain pipe. Actually, everything in Russia is inauspicious. 2 o'clock means in the winter time it's like maybe 8 hours before sunrise. Or maybe there is no sunrise. So auspicious, what's an auspicious time is calculated in terms of the sunrise. Even in some places at 2 o'clock in the morning in the summer, that would be too late because it's already past the sunrise. But then if you take baths 1.5 hours before sunrise, it's already before the sunset. So it's just before sunset, and that's also inauspicious. So may also, just during the sunset. So it's very difficult to even consider all these rules in this unusual place. So whatever time you take bath, you can chant Hare Krishna while doing so. That might be the best place to solve this dilemma. That might be the best way to solve this dilemma. Bharat Bhumi is especially meant for, that is a country which is especially meant for spiritual advancement. That means India. But whatever disadvantages there may be in these countries can be overcome by chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Whom should we start serving prasadam with? Matajis, brahmanas, children, old people?
Well, if you can organize so nicely, that would be very nice. If you can organize in such an organized way, that would be good. You'll find a description in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the festival of Anakut held by Madhavendra Puri, in which a particular order of serving is given. The reason being there's so many, at a big festival like that, so many people to be served and they can't all be served at once. So generally in a home or in a temple, there's only a few devotees and they can all be served at the same time. Men and women sitting separately and men serving to men and women serving to women in the temple. If there's limited space and there's only a certain amount of people can be served at one time, then children should be served first. Young children, they should be served, they should be given regularly prasad, not made to wait. Then, if you like, you can, if there are so many people, then you could organize maybe brahmanas first, like this, in a particular order. But generally we haven't come to such a level of organized culture yet. Traditionally in their homes, in Indian culture, the women eat last. Prabhupada said jokingly once that that way they make sure they cook enough. Even today there are women who, they won't eat before their husbands. Even their husband is out, they'll wait until he comes back. So these are all fine points of Vedic culture. In different communities, which order, who is to be served, they'll serve in different orders, in different castes, in different communities. And I guess the question is coming from those who are
present. Yeah, yeah. Can you explain the meaning of unmanifest? We know in the material world, time has three aspects, present, past, and future. Is future unmanifest? I don't know, it seems that it's interrupted. I mean,
incomplete.
Well,
generally, this term unmanifest is used not in relationship with time, but in the relationship with material nature, which goes through phases of being manifest and unmanifest. Or in terms of things, or in terms of Krishna's pastimes, which are called manifest or unmanifest. In other words, in terms of things that happen within the dimension of time, not in terms of time itself. So I'm not exactly sure what the question is. You'd have to be more accurately framed before I could understand it well enough to answer it. Sometimes the person who's asking, they're not even sure what they're asking. And then, so you have to think somewhat to formulate your question clearly enough so it can be understood. You have to know what you're asking, then you can write it clearly, and then we can understand what we're supposed to be answering.
Should grihasthas, while not working in a karmic job, save some money for their old age, or they should...
Who are working, who are not working.
Or not working in a karmic job. For an old age, or they can donate, they can give this money to spiritual master or to temple.
Well, Prabhupada often used to quote Rupa Goswami's formula of distributing wealth. 50% for Krishna consciousness, 25% for relatives, and 25% for he kept for any future emergency. So that is an example that may not be exactly followed in every case. The idea is that one should spend for Krishna, but also see to one's material responsibilities. I think in this country, most people are struggling so much economically that it might not be realistic to give 50% of your income from Krishna consciousness. Although, I heard of one devotee in Russia, he started to do some business and he gave 50%, from the beginning he gave 50% of the income for Krishna consciousness. And his business went so well that his father, who's not a devotee, also started to donate. And his father's business went so well that he started to give even more than 50%. On the other hand, we have the example of Vasudeva Datta, who used to give his money so liberally that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appointed Shivananda Sen to control his expenditures. That saying that Vasudev, he's too liberal. He should keep some money for his family and not just give it all away. So, certainly, how it is enjoined upon a householder that he should donate for spiritual causes, but he also has to look after his family affairs. So you can also use your home for not just living in, but for inviting people, giving them prasadam, holding programs like this. Just like this home is—it's a very nicely constructed building, but it's It's not used only for the residents of the family of Raja Yogini, but it's used for welcoming the devotees, giving them accommodation, giving them prasada. So that's very nice, isn't it? That's a nice example. So those of your householders can do the same. Make your home a preaching center. Hare Krishna. Next question.
How can we preach to Naman mute people? One Naman mute.
Gaman mute.
From above. Because they don't understand what the meaning of sound.
Then you have to call Helen Keller. Then you have to think of Helen Keller.
What is it?
You don't know the story of Helen Keller?
Okay.
Dumb, it's very famous in the West. She was not only dumb and mute, but blind also. And then she had someone who taught her, and eventually she wrote a book about her life. Well, if they're dumb and mute, at least they can see. So you can show pictures of Krishna. It's some unfortunate bad karma. Rupa Goswami has written a verse in which he says that the holy name is available to all human beings except those who are dumb and mute.
Deaf.
And give them prasadam. But anyway, it might be better to concentrate preaching efforts on people who are more easy to reach. There are many people who, if we go and preach, we'll find there are many people who take up interest in Krishna consciousness. And we don't have enough preachers to reach all of them. So there may not be any special need to, or there may not, it may not be the wisest policy to make a special effort to reach out to people who are especially difficult to reach, when there are already so many people we're not reaching who are easier to reach.
Did Srila Prabhupada define book distribution as the most effective means of reaching, among others?
Yes, it's in the letter of Srila Prabhupada, he stated like that.
It's in the letter?
Yes, in the letter of Srila Prabhupada, he stated like that. So we should have faith in that. Prabhupada wrote in a purport in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam that all activities in our Krishna conscious world are centered around distribution of books. And sometimes we hear so-called devotees saying things like, well, book distribution, that was in the past, now we should concentrate on other things. Personally, I can't accept this at all. When Prabhupada put so much emphasis on book distribution, then it is practically offensive to make statements that minimizing the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. Now TV preaching is more important. Now making rock groups is more important. You go and have your rock group. I'll follow Prabhupada's instruction. I mean, other kinds of preaching can go on, but we should not think that this is more important than Prabhupada's book distribution.
When we reach lokas.
When we reach what?
When we reach shlokas.
When we reach shlokas.
From shastras, then the lines which are ended in ha, which when the vowel is added. For example, dharma kshetra parukshetra samaveta yutsavaha. So, A is added. Should we do it always? In which places we should do it?
Who asked this question?
Raghunandan Thakur.
Big shloka learner. There are different schools of Sanskrit. What's the word? Enunciation, at least the term.
Enunciation?
Enunciation means something like pronunciation. It means the specific. Anyway, sectors, different schools of Sanskrit pronunciation. Some pundits, they pronounce within, wherever it occurs, they pronounce like that. Ha, or he, or who, or whatever. But generally in verse, it's, most pundits pronounce when it comes at the end of a line.
In our case, it will be second or fourth line. Our shloka.
Yes, second or
in
fourth.
In four lines.
Quarter, yeah. one line is finished. Yeah. It's two padas. That's in the Anustupa. That's the simplest form of verse which we have. Most of the verses in Gita are like that. It's quite a big subject matter. So when we're discussing about Sanskrit phonetics, and even just phonetics, we have to speak about grammar. And then verse composition and so many things. We do the best we can.
We
should try to do as well as we can, but we don't expect that we'll become like big pundits. Hare Krishna.
When I was traveling over holy places in India, often I saw people who are sick with leprosy. Is it a karmic disease, or this disease is caused by offenses committed in the holy dhamma?
As far as I understand, most people with leprosy who are in the dhams contracted it before they came to the dhamma. And they came to the dhamma because they know it's a good place for begging. Because in holy places, it's enjoined that people should give charity. So, actually, if they wanted to, many of them, I mean, there are homes for lepers and all this kind of thing. But mostly they don't like to go because they like to beg money and then drink. Anyway, somehow or other they're in the dhamma, so that's their good fortune. Before going to India, many devotees, they think it's going to be something like described in Krishna book. The difference between what they see in the modern town of Vrindavan and what they might have expected is phenomenal. Still, whatever bad impression you might get, India still has very strong in spiritual culture in many ways. Just before leaving India, before coming to the West, I visited Govardhan. And at our ISKCON ashram there, the resident sannyasi, he recently took sannyas, Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj, he told me that in the previous 5 days, the police had estimated that 10 million people had done Govardhan Parikrama. It was his biggest festival of the year. Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj. Constant, he said, there was a complete wall of people just all around Govardhan for 5 days and nights continuously. So I was staying there for a few days, and at night you would hear people going around doing parikrama. And that's usually mostly do at night because it's quite hot in the day. So all night you'd hear groups of people calling out, Giriraja Maharaja Ki Jai. Like that, so many things. So whatever bad impression you may get, you have to see also the spiritual side. And actually the leper in Vrindavan is millions of times more fortunate than the rich man in his dacha in Russia who has no contact with Krishna consciousness.
When I was in India, I met devotees. They were initiated by ISKCON gurus. But in due course of time, they rejected their gurus, and they went to Radhakund and accepted initiation from local Babaji. And they were earning their income. They were earning their means of livelihood by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So the question is, from on the one hand, they committed the greatest offense, and on the other hand, they perform this sublime service to Srila Prabhupada. What should be our attitude towards them?
Just before you read that out, can the men come in? Move out from that back portion. Come up here. You can come here also. Yeah, but why are they selling the books? To maintain, for their maintenance. They're not doing it as a matter of spiritual service. Because because Prabhupada, his name has become somewhat famous, therefore his books are relatively easy to sell. People want to take them. Nindami cha pibami cha. It means I blaspheme and I take advantage of also. It's a kind of hypocrisy. according to them, according to these Babaji Sampradayas, Prabhupada is an offender, according to them, because he was against these Babaji Sampradayas. They have no set principle. The Babajis also, they used to say that Westerners can't be devotees. Now they're very anxious to initiate them. Their attitude changed.
It's said that during Purnahuti, karma, all sins and all karma enters the seeds of a banana. Some
seeds of the banana?
No. Grains and bananas. Some say that we shouldn't eat this banana. Others say that we can, but this is Mahaprasad. So what should we do with the bananas?
In the Karma Kandiya Yajna, that may be a fact that the sins are entering the grains and being burned up. But devotees who are on the path of pure Krishna consciousness, their sins are already burned up. So they perform such yajnas simply for the pleasure of the Lord. So with that understanding, they can take that which is offered in devotion, they can take it as prasada. Different people may say different things about this. This is my philosophical understanding that I'm presenting. I think it's pretty good. So if you find anyone with a better philosophical understanding, please let me know. There are many rules and rituals in Vedic culture, but the Vaishnavas understand them in a different way to that of the smartas or the ordinary materialistic people. In Shastra it's stated that blowing a conch, that produces all auspiciousness. But if a woman blows it, it produces all inauspiciousness. So this statement I can understand, this applies to persons on the materialistic platform. This doesn't apply to devotees.
How should we ask for donation? What's the proper way to ask for donations for the books of Srila Prabhupada? So that we may not look as a businessman.
Well, businessmen don't ask for donations. So if you're asking for a donation, then automatically you're not posing as a businessman. Then you're taking the position of a representative of a spiritual organization.
Next year, during Mayapur festival, they'll install certain 3-meter deities of Panchatattva. And they'll lay the foundation stone of the Vedic planetarium temple. Do you happen to know anything about this? Please tell us.
It is planned thus, and it will be a great auspicious occasion when it happens. And it looks as if it will happen, but we have to see. The Lord comes when He wants to come. A few years ago it was also announced that there would be the opening, the installation of the big deities, but it didn't happen because the deities weren't ready. So this time it looks like it will happen. But again, we'll have to see. When the Lord wants to come, He will come.
He wrote a question here, it's one page. I'll be reading for five minutes of question.
Yeah. He should. Conciseness is true eloquence, it is stated in Chaitanya. Quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
In Russia we have say, conciseness is a sister of talent.
Okay, well, we can take other questions.
Yeah.
You don't have any current ones?
Is a fast interrupted by Charanamrita or Mahaprasada?
Is what? Fast?
Fast.
It doesn't really matter that much if you take a little Charanamrita on a fast day. Although nirjal literally means with no water whatsoever. So if you're strictly observing a fast of nirjal, no water, then you could honor Charanamrita by putting a little on your head. If you're seen sitting down with a huge plate of Mahaprasadam and you say that I'm fasting, it doesn't really, it's not very convincing.
Who's sitting with?
If someone is seen sitting with a huge plate of Mahaprasad and they're claiming to be fasting, it's not very convincing.
Mm.
So on a fast day, if one is offered Mahaprasad, one can accept it and keep it until the prescribed time for breaking the fast.
Yes,
that is the proper way to accept Mahaprasada on the fasting day. Please write the questions.
Can Krishna give me freedom to my thought and give me spiritual tranquility, which I cannot attain I cannot find anywhere. Can you explain why am I present on this planet at all?
You wanted to have an uncontrolled mind and peace of mind. This is an unreasonable demand. Peaceful mind means a controlled mind. One cannot have an uncontrolled mind and at the same time be peaceful. It's like, you know, sitting on an uncontrolled wild horse and at the same time expecting a smooth ride. Or it's like a woman who wants to be protected and sheltered and at the same time independent. Protected and sheltered means dependent. You can't be independent and be protected and sheltered. So we have to choose. Either you be crazy or be Krishna conscious. You can't be both. Why are we on this planet? I guess that question means, why are we in this material existence? Because we have chosen to forget Krishna. So the remedy for that is to remember Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Basically, it repeats the same question. It says, what if some devotees employ logic and even quotation from books of Srila Prabhupada, letters from Srila Prabhupada try to publicly prove that the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books is not the main type of preaching in ISKCON. It's difficult to argue with them because they're most senior devotees and their knowledge of Shastra is better.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. This point was discussed in some detail yesterday, that someone doesn't become correct by misquoting, nor are they correct simply by being senior. And the real thing that you yourself should become learned in Prabhupada's writings. And if you do so, you'll find that it's pretty difficult to prove that Prabhupada thought that any program was more prominent than book distribution. Actually, at one time Prabhupada said, Gurukul is our most important program. Another time, he said that preaching to scientists is our most important program. But if we examine, we'll find that the program which Prabhupada stressed repeatedly far more than others is the distribution of his books. So all these programs are important. But nevertheless, there's no doubt that Prabhupada stressed most of them the distribution of his books. So all other programs can go on, but it's not that we should think that the book distribution is less important. Then?
In your book, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada, you write that you have a close relationship with Srila Prabhupada, although you saw him just a few times. You always feel his presence. What should we do to develop? Oh, I think you answered.
Yeah, this is the whole question, the whole lecture this morning.
Yeah. In Vaishnava etiquette booklet, it's written that you shouldn't embrace your knees or your elbows or your feet with your arms if you're sitting before the deities. How shall we understand it properly? What's the reason for this?
Well, every position is like a... Every position conveys something. In modern, I don't know what that would be, psychology or something. It's a kind of new age science called body language. That if someone's sitting like this, it usually means they're thinking very deeply. If they're sitting like this, it means they're maybe very tired. If you're sitting like this, it means that you're maybe in a very stern mood. If you're sitting like this. So even unconsciously, we assume different positions. So, and they all convey something about our subconscious attitude. So, these poses which I described that we should not adopt in the temple room, they're not very respectful, actually. Therefore, they should not be adopted.
How can we distinguish a proper sadhu from false sadhu among those living in Vrindavan? Whom should we, whom can we give donation, and whom we shouldn't give donation to? How should we control our mind so that not to think badly about anyone?
Well, those of you who are fortunate enough to go to Vrindavan in the first place, not that many of you. Actually, devotees, they prefer to go to Vrindavan because there are so many places to visit. But actually, more important for your spiritual advancement is Mayapur. Mayapur is not so much a place for tourism, not even for spiritual tourism. There's not so many things to see. So, even better than going around and visiting so many places in Vrindavan is to be in Mayapur and do service and do a lot of chanting. And most devotees, they go to Vrindavan, they visit so many different places. And Prabhupada, he encouraged the devotees to visit the holy place in Vrindavan. But just a few, and not to spend all their time simply doing parikrama.
Oh, just a few places?
Yeah. He wanted that they come and do service and contribute something to the mission. Prabhupada said the whole spiritual world is in Krishna Balaram Mandir, so there's no need to go to so many places. So this idea of a spiritual holiday wasn't very much encouraged by Srila Prabhupada. As far as distinguishing the false sadhus from the genuine sadhus and who to give a donation to, the genuine sadhus probably won't ask you for a donation. They might not even accept it even if you give it. Nevertheless, it's generally better to give to the false sadhus, because if you don't, they'll harass you so much that it just makes life miserable. Hare Krishna. Okay, well, if there are no questions, we can finish there.